Isn't this a sports show?
Listen, so today's show might be bad.
Almost entirely.
Next hour, we'll do entirely sports. How dumb am I? I fooled myself.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
There's the iceberg. Here we come.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
God forbid this is the first time you've heard this show in any way whatsoever.
Keep up with the show on Twitter at JB Briscoe.
Oh, Deshaun, I love to see the future.
This is my Twitter impression.
Oh, Deshaun Watson, you're the future. I love you. Oh, you're going to dethrone Tom Brady. You're the new king of the AFC.
He throws a pick.
Oh, Deshaun, you're a bust.
On ESPN Kansas City.
Oh, it's a Friday. It's a Friday leading up to the last NFL football game for a very long time. So we have you here 2 straight hours breaking down the Eagles, breaking down the Patriots, wire to wire. Nothing but X's and O's. Just kidding. By the end of the show, I'll probably figure out who I think wins. I will promise no more than that. But there are some really good Chiefs offseason stories that we get to ride the wave of at least through the next 2 hours, maybe through the next couple of weeks. We know that the Alex Smith trade isn't official in the NFL books until it's March 14th or 16th. Early March, mid-March. That's mid-March. That's bad math by me. Like, I mean, that's exactly the middle of March. It's a very good start to today's show. But obviously this has huge waves crashing through Kansas City right now. And it is a supremely interesting story. Because you're seeing the Chiefs do something at quarterback that I've never seen in my entire life. I've never seen the Chiefs do what they're doing now. And the effects are already obviously cutting deep. We talked a little bit yesterday about Alex Smith charity. I've tweeted some about that. If you want to go learn more, you can go check out my timeline or Arrowhead Pride had a story on it, whatever. That's one very like heartwarming development of Alex Smith's departure from Kansas City. But then there is what can only be described a heartbreaking one. This is from Dan Helley, we'll say, on Twitter. At EA Sports' Super Bowl party, Travis Kelce is playing Alvin Kamara and Madden, and the first thing Kelce does is bench Alex Smith for Pat Mahomes. It all feels so real now. It's all happening so fast. I don't know if we're ready for this. It's so uncertain. Like, Tyler Bray could be this team's number 2 quarterback next year, and I don't know if I'm ready for that. Oh, oof, sorry, I just saw a gif of Patrick Mahomes, and now I'm better. I'm over it now. I just thought that tweet was so good. And also that move by Travis Kelce. Remember whenever, like, for like 45 minutes yesterday, Travis Kelce was doing some interviews on Radio Row and with, like, I don't know, I think Rich Eisen. And Rich Eisen and Dan Patrick and every show on Radio, it's all the same. But I think it was Rich Eisen. And by all the same, I mean, like, Dan Patrick and Rich Eisen both do a phenomenal job of doing a kind of sports talk radio that I'm not particularly in love with. But they're both true professionals at that. I respect them both deeply. I don't really listen to either of them. Because it's... Eh. What's a good analogy for that? What's a good analogy for what Rich Eisen and Dan Patrick do? Food is my thought because, like, the type of radio that I like, the Lebatard Show is the best sushi on the planet. And some people are just never going to like the sushi. I'm trying to think if there's a popular food that I'm not really a fan of. But I don't really have that problem. I think I'd try anything. Like, that's generally, also this, I've realized, we talked about this with the take test yesterday. On the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page, me and Charlie and Beards now every week. We try some Japanese snacks. And this is what I truly want to do with my life, is talk about sports while eating strange foods. And because I have this long-standing sort of general philosophy of I'll try any food thing, like, twice. I think that was a Bizarre Foods thing, the host of that. So I'll try anything twice. Try it, see how it is. Yeah, not sure. Taste it again. Goodbye. That's why I enjoy the taste testing so much. But we could say that Rich Eisen and Dan Patrick just have, like, the best bratwursts in America. I don't think I really want bratwurst. I'd rather have sushi. What we are, this show, is Walmart sushi. If you really want sushi and you've already eaten the good stuff, I guess we'll do, but we may make you sick. I think that's the most profound analogy about this show we've ever done. This show is Walmart sushi. It's got to be a really acquired taste. But if you're listening now, it means that you're enjoying some Walmart sushi, so thank you for being here. Anyway, I want to talk about the Travis Kelce thing, and I got lost in my own analogy. Also, I'm distracted by the fact that currently on the TV in front of me, Bones is playing on TNT, and the TV is very glitchy, and I can't turn it off because I can't find the remote.
DirecTV logo for me.
I would prefer it.
Bones is okay.
Not that Bones is a bad show. I was just going to say that, actually, but I choked on my gum a little bit, so I'm kind of struggling now.
Yeah, don't do that, maybe.
No, Bones is fine. But whenever I'm seeing it like 7 pixels at a time and the audio is off, it's very distracting. I'm going to take a drink and try to wash down the piece of gum that's in my windpipe. Is a windpipe a real thing?
I think so. Or that just might be the...
People talk about having something go down the wrong pipe, though. And there's really just one pipe, right? Like, don't you just have, like, a throat hole?
Yeah, it's the air passage from the throat to the lungs. Windpipe.
I guess that's true. It has to branch off somewhere. Never really thought about that. Anyway, for like 45 minutes, I think Travis Kelce, what? That was an amazing rabbit trail we found. It was like, I think it was Rich Eisen that Travis Kelce was talking to, and he was asking Kelce, like, hey, you know, well, what did you think whenever you heard the news about Alex Smith? He's like, oh, that was news I wasn't trying to hear. You know, it's hard. I'm going to miss him, et cetera, et cetera. And there was a little bubble on Twitter of people going like, oh, wow, he does not sound confident in his new quarterback. Kelce sounds bummed. I think the logical thing to take away there is if you've been paying attention for a while, you've heard Kelce say some amazing things about Mahomes during the season when Alex was still there. But you don't really want to you don't want to trot out your new girlfriend the day after the divorce. And I think that's kind of what Kelce was doing. So Travis Kelce waited until the EA Sports postgame show, or postgame, or what? EA Sports pre-Super Bowl party. Yeah, that's better. And then he was like, here we go. Time to throw myself 80-yard bombs on Madden. Because I can do that now. So Travis Kelce's going to be fine. Also, though, I've neglected the big story of the day, something I did not even know was on the table until I saw an article from Therese Paylor. Will Patrick Mahomes change his jersey number to number 5? We need all hands on deck for this one. I need a report ASAP. It's very important to me. Also, I tend to do occasionally little goofs where I pretend I'm very interested in something that's actually really silly. I think I just did that. I am not doing that now. I am legitimately, I have opinions on this. But according to Therese Paylor, obviously Mahomes was 5 in college whenever he came to Kansas City. Cairo Santos was number 5. Now, number 5 is vacant. And Mahomes wore 15 throughout his rookie season. Now, could he switch to number 5 in 2018? Here's a quote from Patrick Mahomes. Quote, I haven't made any decisions yet, Mahomes told the Star on Friday. I've thought about it, now that the season's over, but it's not as easy as it seems to be. It's not like I can just switch jersey numbers. There's a lot of stuff you have to do with the NFL. Therese writes, the biggest hurdle to Mahomes, is switching numbers. That's a typo. Is that he'd be personally responsible for buying up the old merchandise that's been produced with number 15. This is wild. Did you know this? I did, because this is something that I am just strangely familiar with. Uniforms and, like, football cards were a big part of my life for a while, and I learned things like this. If you want to switch numbers, you have to pay for the memorabilia with your old number on it that is still on the market. Like NFL officially licensed memorabilia or whatever. Which is just super interesting. And so if some guard wanted to switch his number, if Mitch Morris wanted to switch his number, he could probably do it with very little overhead. Not so for Pat Mahomes. Those jerseys are produced in bulk. In fact, listen to this again from the Star. He and his camp are currently in the process of figuring out how much that would cost, but they've been told it could be up to $100,000. A certain amount of money, a significant amount of money for anyone, even a newly minted 22-year-old millionaire. I'd have to pay a lot. I'd have to pay for a lot of number 15 jerseys, Mahomes said with a laugh. But he says he likes 15, and he got drafted 10th, and he wore 5, and there's no other quarterback truly wearing 15, blah, blah, blah. But Chris Cabot, one of his representatives, said that Mahomes has a memorabilia deal, so we've had some communications with them about it. I'm reading into this. He also said, if I was to do something, I would try to help out everybody who had already bought number 15 jerseys and get it all fixed. He said, a resolution should be on the horizon, however. I will let everybody know soon, Mahomes said.
What would you do with all those extra 15 jerseys?
They're vintage now. Like, these are the jerseys from his rookie year.
Well, no. What would he do with them?
Oh, they're asking what I would do with all of my number 15 jerseys.
No, I know what you're doing with them. You're framing those.
That's
or
true.
Or making them into, like, a quilt.
Yes, a quilt. I was just going to say, man, I would love to make a quilt. That would be so funny. I don't know. Actually, that's a great question, Beards.
Just hand them out.
Does he
make a quilt with them?
Does he own all of them, then?
Or is it just,
like,
he paid for them, and then NFL or whoever just strips them down and recycles them and tries to make them into different jerseys?
I don't know. Would he be the owner of, like, 10,000, not 10, I guess maybe 1,000, probably $100 a pop seems about right, doesn't it? Would he just have 1,000 of his own number 15 jerseys? This is something we're going to do further research into. Beards, rest of the show. I need you on this. At some point, I need a very detailed report on how this process works in general, because that's a good question.
I'll see what I can find.
Thank you. But he also said, I'll let everybody know soon. I think he's going to switch to 5. The language in here about working with his memorabilia deal sponsors and the number of new number 5 jerseys the Chiefs would sell, I think he's going to do it. And I think number 5, I think Donovan McNabb, but I don't think I can think of another recent quarterback who wore number 5. Tebow wore 15. 15 has been tainted.
Flacco.
Oh, good call. I said quarterback, though, so. Sorry, Joe Flacco. That was rude. You're right. I forgot about Joe Flacco. I think there's something cool about having a quarterback that wears a single digit. Unless it's Matt Castle, in which case it no longer applies. Or Tyler Bray. Never mind. This is falling apart very quickly.
Best players by jersey number. Let's see.
So let's look into 5 and 15. I think McNabb.
And Joe Flacco.
It's just McNabb and Flacco?
Well, this is just the best one currently, I think.
Okay. What about 15? 15 could even be a receiver. I think receivers can wear up down to the teens. But yeah, there are receivers that wear 10.
Bart Starr.
Not just act. So are they saying that Joe Flacco
this
is better
all-time
than Donovan McNabb then? That is offensive.
This one's all time. This one had Donovan McNabb at 5. The other one was the current one, and that had Flacco.
So either way, I think they're open here. But I think it sounds like Mahomes is going to switch jersey numbers. This has been Mahomes Jersey Watch 2018. Pew, pew, pew. We will update you as more information becomes public. We now return to your regularly scheduled program. Pew. And that's why I think Washington's overpaying for Alex Smith. We welcome back those of you who were briefly whisked away for a Mahomes 2018 Jersey Watch discussion. I've just wrapped up my detailed conversation on why Washington overpaid Alex Smith. Also, do you have the Mahomes sound that we talked about earlier, Beards? We're going to just do some Mahomes, and we'll talk about Brett Veach here in a second. But Pat Mahomes was on 810 yesterday with Seren Petro on the program. And this is the quote that got the most run. And I think there are several ways we can break this down.
I came from Texas
Bank
Tech.
Account.
I came from Texas Tech and had a ton of stats and didn't win enough games. For me, it's all about winning. I want to win the Super Bowl. I want to win the championship. And that's it.
All right. First of all, I didn't hear the rest of it because Beards included Seren yelling bank account.
Didn't notice that was there the first time.
Could we go ahead and get a remix of that one that doesn't include
Seren's
voice
sec.
As the first voice we hear?
Second voice. It was just immediately after the first one.
It broke into the answer. I don't blame Seren there. I blame you, Beards. But first of all, like, it's objectively a good answer. Because Seren was asking, do you have any statistical goals, basically? And he's like, came from Texas Tech and I had a ton of stats, didn't win enough games. For me, it's all about winning. I won the Super Bowl. I won the championship, and that's it. A very winning quarterback answer.
Do we want to do this again?
Go ahead and hear it now in his voice.
Okay.
Bank account.
The worst. What a disaster you are.
Okay, are you ready for the actual one now?
Sure, I'd love to hear it. Go ahead.
I came from Texas Tech and had a ton of stats and didn't win enough games. For me, it's all about winning. I want to win the Super Bowl. I want to win the championship, and that's it.
Okay, so other than me expecting that Beard's going to play bank account again, there are a couple of takeaways you have there. First of all, I'm terrified about one thing. I'm very confident in Pat Mahomes. In most ways, I do have one significant fear. I'm afraid that he's going to be a boring interview. And like I'm looking like at the transcript. Seren is an entertaining person to hear talk to someone else, so that whole conversation might work out okay. But like, if you read his quotes. Airhead probably put together some of his quotes. If you read just the Mahomes quotes, it's kind of upsetting as far as, well, this is not going to be a very interesting quarterback presser.
Are there any quarterbacks that are interesting?
Kaepernick.
Even he was bland with his answers, though.
No, that's true. What I'm hoping for realistically is for the younger quarterbacks to be more interesting, to show some more personality or whatever.
Maybe when they're not a rookie.
No, that's the time to do it, though, before you get brainwashed by the rest of the NFL. But if you watch enough, like, quarterback presses or whatever, that's just... Anyway, that was one takeaway that I had. It's like, all right, it's great to hear him say winning, and he's got the right answers, and that's good. But I'm afraid that we're going to get just that. Also, he sounds so much like a Muppet.
I had another realization as I listened to that again.
Okay.
He sounds like a lifelong smoker. I think that's another issue we have to consider.
Okay, play it again. Does he sound like a lifelong...
I came from Texas Tech and had a ton of stats and didn't win enough games. For me, it's all about winning. I want to win the Super Bowl. I want to win the championship, and that's it.
The full clip, it's very rough at the beginning.
Why does he sound like that?
I don't know.
He's 22. I don't know how you sound like that.
I don't know.
It seems unhealthy. It seems like that's... Also, if you have any... you can always comment on the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page or tweet me at JB Briscoe. What does Patrick Mahomes sound like? You know what? You know what I just I had an experience with a couple days ago at my house. There was glass in the garbage disposal.
Uh-huh.
And so I had to clean out the garbage disposal, and then partway through the process, it wasn't working. It was just kind of like, and it was making terrible sounds.
That's what he sounds like?
Patrick Mahomes sounds a little bit like he's talking while there's a garbage disposal going on in the background.
I came from Texas Tech and had a ton of stats and didn't win enough games. For me, it's all about winning. I want to win the Super Bowl. I want to win the championship, and that's it.
He can get a little gravelly.
All right, you know what? All right, let me amend that after hearing it. Let me amend it.
Okay.
He sounds like the voice actor who plays the garbage disposal in a gritty remake of The Brave Little Toaster.
Ooh.
That's pretty good, right?
That's pretty good.
He sounds like he would be the voice of an animated garbage disposal.
It's not bad.
It's not bad at all. Or maybe an animated mower. Just something with spinning blades.
I can see that.
What else does Patrick Mahomes sound like?
I said a frog.
He does. I don't know. Does he sound like a... It is, again, very Muppet-ish. That is true.
Yeah.
I also wonder... He'll never be on the show. I'm confident in that.
No.
Anytime he's available, he'll be on 810. We would have to do some crazy backbending to get Mahomes on the show, and I don't expect him to.
Or we could just, like, take whoever's interview is over there and cut out their questions and just put you in.
That's pretty good. But I would not ask the same questions as anybody else would. That's
but they
the
would
thought,
be the
though.
Same answers.
Oh, that's, I see.
Yeah.
Oh, that's kind of fun. Let's try that really quick.
Okay.
Patrick Mahomes joining us now here on Almost Entirely Sports. Patrick, you've said many, many times that you hated your teammates at Texas Tech, that they dragged you down. Could you elaborate on why your teammates, in fact, did hold you back so bad at Texas Tech and how you look forward to having actual good teammates in Kansas City?
I came from Texas Tech and had a ton of stats and didn't win enough games.
Sure.
For me, it's all about winning. I want to win the Super Bowl. I want to win the championship, and that's it.
Yeah, and that makes total sense. You won't have your bad, bad teammates holding you back this time. That's great. Thank you, Patrick.
Yeah, any other questions for him?
Not for that with that answer. Don't. We only have one clip ready to go. I don't want to do the rest of this bit right now, but that was a proof of concept that this bit is going to work. Regardless, though, here's what I wonder. I wonder if he has a sense of humor about the fact that he has a very unique voice. Because I would love to play the game with him. Say,
what does he sound like?
What do you sound like? Do you sound like a Muppet that's risen up from the streets? B, the voice of an animated garbage disposal in a kid's TV show? Or C, like you started smoking when you were 14?
Six.
Like you started smoking when you were six. And you're now 14. That's what he sounds like. He sounds like, because his voice is too high pitched. And by the way, I get it. I'm up here also. This is my register when I get excited. But he just sounds like he's 22, but he started smoking at six.
A little bit.
I love the idea of him voicing an animated garbage disposal. I think that's my favorite still. But I wonder. Like, that would either be the first of many times we would talk to him, or it would be the very last.
No, I don't think Chiefs PR would like us.
But if we're just having, we're not, like, it's not like I'm asking him about, like, his politics. Like, it would just be fun. Now, again, it's fair to assume that Chiefs PR isn't going to...
Oh, look at these bozos wasting our time.
Right, isn't going to have the best of comedic intentions.
I don't think they're allowed to have a sense of humor.
Yeah,
NFL PR people.
I've heard people say good things about some of the guys who work at PR. Most of my interactions have been a little chilly. Limited interactions, though. That might be unfair. I've had one chilly one. And the other ones were all just, like, totally fine. Just business as usual. They didn't do anything. I just sort of recorded players talking after a game. The other time was whenever I asked Clark Hunt about Ezekiel Elliott suspension and if he thinks Roger Goodell is doing a good job with domestic violence.
Probably not the best line of questioning.
Well, no. It was the best line of questioning. It was a good line of questioning. They didn't appreciate it terribly. It wasn't their favorite line of questioning, but it was a good line of questioning. And they just didn't care for it, which makes sense. Because it was in a McDonald's at 6:30 in the morning. It admittedly was a weird time for me to go that way. But I also didn't really want to ask him about the flags they were giving or they were selling. All right, whenever we come back, we will we'll talk about Pat Mahomes a little more and in Alex Smith's legacy. And then we'll see if we can come up with any more things that Pat Mahomes sounds like.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Is this the most important thing I could be talking about? Well, I mean, probably not. Debatable.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
All right, I'm going to put out on Twitter here in a second. What does Patrick Mahomes sound most like? A, the voice of an animated garbage disposal. B, a down-on-his-luck Muppet. Or C, a god amongst men who must not be disparaged this way.
Seems biased.
I don't know. I mean, there are three options. I would like to vote for all three, though. He sounds like all three of them. He sounds most like an animated garbage disposal. There's a conversation that we haven't had yet since Alex Smith was traded on Tuesday night. We haven't had the conversation yet about Alex Smith's legacy. And there were 1,000 times over the last several years where I was one kind or another just beyond myself about Alex Smith. And he did a lot in this last season to kill the criticisms, but he did a lot to push back on them, on the criticisms that were very fairly given to him over the years prior. And the 2017 season showed more than that. It does provide the question of why was this season the first season that he was going downfield? And also, why was this season his best season still cut short in the first round of the playoffs? And so I think all of that plays into what his legacy is going to be here. I don't want to do super serious legacy talk, but I think it's worth at least sort of scratching the surface of. Just because I'm curious what the first things you think of are whenever you go, boom, what do you think of Alex Smith? Quick. Word association, Alex Smith, go. And for me, it is one playoff win, both for better and for worse, and it is stable quarterback play. Those are the immediate things to think. One playoff win, which over the course of 5 years was not enough, but also ended a terrible playoff drought in Kansas City. So that is both a praise and a criticism of Alex Smith, which I think is interesting. And I think that's going to kind of be the microcosm of how I remember Alex Smith in Kansas City. His biggest accomplishment, winning a playoff game in Kansas City for the first time in my lifetime, his biggest accomplishment is intimately connected to the biggest letdown in his career here, which was not winning enough. Not that that all goes to him by any means, but again, it's the first thing you think of. Right now, Andy Reid's legacy in Kansas City is the same. one playoff win, and tons of regular season success. That comes after, though. The other word I put with Alex Smith is stabilizer. He came in to a franchise that just needed competence. And he was that. 2016 was a mess. A couple of really bad games in 2017. But he was competence whenever this franchise needed it. But the other thing that I can never disassociate from Alex Smith is that he also never raised the ceiling of a team, which is the thing that I associate most closely with great quarterbacks. Bad quarterbacks hamstring their team. They limit their team. 2016, Alex Smith limited the team, but 2017, Alex Smith certainly did not. But whenever I look at the height of quarterback play, the thing I think is, did this guy make the team around him better? And there are moments in which Alex Smith successfully played to the strengths of the team in 2017, with the deep shots to Tyreek Hill and some of the best throws to Travis Kelce and the management of the run-pass options, where that played into the team's strengths. But I never thought that Alex Smith was going to be there to elevate the team. He never was capable of covering up a deficiency somewhere. When I think of Aaron Rodgers, the first thing I think of is, man, he's never gotten the supporting cast that he deserves. And I don't even mean just because of the money that he's owed. He could be on a better managed roster. He would look like the 16-0 Patriots. Like he would look like Tom Brady on that team if he had, you know, a Randy Moss and a defense that could hold its own and an offensive line that didn't have him constantly fearing for his life. But Aaron Rodgers has spent the better part of his career covering up for a shoddy offensive line or covering up for legitimately having a wide receiver at running back. That's an actual thing that Aaron Rodgers has done the last couple of years. Ty Montgomery, a receiver, has been his number one running back. Obviously, Rodgers missed a lot of this last season, but I digress. And I think in the NFL, that's where you get back to. You have to have a quarterback that can cover up deficiencies, or you have to have a quarterback that allows you to have none. Which is why rookie contract Derek Carr is very enticing to me. $25 million a year Derek Carr does not frighten me one bit. You need to have a quarterback that can cover up your deficiencies or a quarterback that does not allow you to have any. So Alex Smith was certainly never 2017 Blake Bortles. He was also never Aaron Rodgers. Which, you know, kind of makes sense. One other thing that I wonder if this will be a part of Alex Smith's legacy in Kansas City. It should be one way or another. He was integral in the process of preparing Patrick Mahomes. Which is kind of wild, and I don't feel super, super weird about that now. Because even though he did train his backup in a lot of ways, he's now making $70 million guaranteed in Washington, so the financial move worked out just fine for him. But that's something where I think we'll look back, and if Mahomes is a guy who ends up being great at the line of scrimmage and a guy who always seems the appropriate kind of prepared and a guy who has the team, you know, kind of in the palm of his hand and is always managing everything around him, I think that's another thing that we're going to remember Alex Smith for, is helping get Pat Mahomes ready this year. Also, you will all remember that he ended on his best season, which, again, is odd. but I don't know how you could have argued that you wanted another year of this, another year of Alex Smith, and just hoping that you can't, you don't have deficiencies elsewhere when you're always going to whenever you're paying a quarterback that kind of money. So now the Chiefs are hedging their bet. It's something I've said about Mahomes since they drafted him. He doesn't have to be Aaron Rodgers. He doesn't even have to be 2017 Alex Smith for the move to have still made perfect sense. Because if he's right around 2017 Alex Smith, maybe with some more picks, but he's doing it for $12 million less, $13 million less, something in that neighborhood, then it's the right move to make. Because that's Aqib Talib or something like that. So, you know, I thought that would be interesting to take a peek at what Alex Smith is ultimately going to be remembered as from his time with the Chiefs.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
When it comes to pulling the trigger on making that move at quarterback, it's like one dog. I guess it would be like your dog dying Christmas Eve and then getting a puppy Christmas morning. Like, it's all kind of uncomfortable, but like, it's bad news and good news.
With Joshua Briscoe.
Also, your puppy might suck.
On ESPN Kansas City.
I think the best actual contender for what Pat Mahomes sounds like was tweeted in by Mike Allen. Sounds like Kermit the Frog doing an impression of Louis Armstrong. Beard just shouted, yes. It was so loud that I heard it through the not really soundproof glass.
No, this is useless.
It's pretty useless. Yeah, you'll get shushed if you're not careful around here. Beard just went, yes!
I see Danny coming.
I saw him in the reflection. I was like, oh, here we go. I thought about, I used to do a terrible Louis Armstrong doing, what's the main,
okay, now you gotta do it. Come on.
No, well, I can't, I've forgotten, is his song It's a Wonderful World, did he do?
Yeah.
It's a wonderful, but I can't do it right now. I gotta warm up. And then eventually I'm gonna try to do Louis Armstrong, or Kermit the Frog doing that Louis Armstrong song in his best Louis Armstrong impression, but I'm gonna need a minute. I think I can probably get there, but it's just gonna take some time. So check in on me on that in a minute. Clinton tweeted Kermit the Frog here, which is very funny. And Steve said he sounds like the he said God amongst men, but also the guy you speak to when you're parking didn't validate, and you have to press the button on the machine. That one's also pretty good.
Yes, that's good.
I think we can at least agree that Patrick Mahomes sounds like he's talking through a machine, but also is a cartoon character.
I think I remember there's like a TV series or some audiobook or something that I listened to where it was they went like through a drive-thru or whatever, and the drive-thru was the notorious, you know, it sounded like and they were just like, yes! and then the food comes out and it's just, you know, a burger with no bun.
Right, perfect. No, that's pretty good. Maybe a little bit if the teacher or the adults in Charlie Brown were more understandable. Kind of that womp, 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 but it's actually at Texas Tech. But also, it's a little down here. Kermit the Frog here. Here's what I would like to encourage. I would like for Piers, can we give out your work email? It can be public, right?
I prefer not to.
Your work email is for being like online, so people can send you stuff.
Is it?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes. You don't use it to sign up for anything, right?
No.
Okay, fine. I want you listening to do your best Pat Mahomes impression, record it, and then DM at Beards McFly. Beards go open, or tweet at Beards McFly, and tell him that you need his email. And then he will send you his email address. And if anyone does this, we will have a compilation at some point of people trying to do Patrick Mahomes impressions. This is, I kid you not, the best idea I've ever had. It's the best idea. Record yourself doing...
So when we get one impression from your mom...
Kermit the Frog doing a Louis Armstrong impression. Take that, do that, and send it to... or tweet at Beards McFly whenever it's done. And then he will DM you his work email address. And if we get at least three, we will make it a bit. If we get less than three, tell your friends so we can have more than three. All right, very good. I want to talk about Brett Veach, and at some point we're going to do... Beards found a list of Super Bowl prop bets that are either real or fake. I think that's the best way we can do this. I don't really want to do prop bets of just the silly ones because I think everyone's doing that. Identifying ones that could be fake or real, that seems fun. You can play along with us at home. We'll do that at some point also. But speaking of playing along with us at home, do you have the Jeopardy sound ready, Beards? I want to do this really quick. If you're on Twitter a lot, you might have seen this already. And even if you have, you can just relive it for, what, like a minute and a half? So this is on Jeopardy from yesterday or the day before. And the whole board was clear, except for there was one like whole column. I think the category was just NFL football. And they
I feel
were,
like this isn't the first NFL football one that's popped up before.
Oh, no. They certainly had other sports-related ones, for sure, yeah. But this one was especially interesting because the contestants were a special kind of unqualified for this particular category.
Football 200.
Your choice, do or don't name this play in which the quarterback runs the ball and can choose to pitch it to another back.
This one took me a second. I had to think about it, and I went, oh, an option.
An option play.
Boom. Money.
Ryan?
Football 400.
I can tell you guys are big football fans. Tom Landry perfected the shotgun formation with this team.
You don't need to know the shotgun thing. Just know who Tom Landry coached. Come on, guys.
Dallas Cowboys. Do you think we should go to commercial?
Ryan, take it on to 600.
Trebek okay, so by signaling for one of these, a returner can reel in a kick without fear of getting tackled.
This one should have been worth quadruple.
Fair catch.
The audience is laughing.
Two clues left, Ryan.
800.
These penalties are simultaneous violations by the offense and defense that cancel each other out.
I also had to think about this one for a second, and I would have buzzed in plenty of time.
Offsetting penalties.
Thank you, Alex.
Let's look at the $1,000 clue, just for the fun of it. Jimmy?
As Minneapolis' U.S. Bank Stadium prepares to host Super Bowl 52, I'm looking at the Ring of Honor with names from this defensive line that took the Vikings to four Super Bowls.
Did you know this one, Beards? Beards didn't
if
know
you
this
guys
one.
Ring in and get this one, I will die. Who are the purple people eaters? We're going to take a break. I have to talk to them.
I will die. It was the most southern Alex Trebek has ever sounded also. It was really strange.
He was very feisty.
I will die. I will eat you with my purple people. Not a good enough hint. Come on, Jimmy. I'll die. I enjoyed that. I thought that was fun.
It was enjoyable.
Thank you for your agreement. I appreciate it.
I knew two of them.
Really? What have you not gotten?
I knew offsetting, and then I knew fair catch.
You wouldn't have gotten the option?
Probably not.
That one was harder than the fair catch, I thought. Because I had to think, what do you mean? This is kind of, oh, it probably means an option. I was less confident in that one, I guess, but I would have gotten it.
I've heard of the Purple People Eaters, but that was it.
Would you have gotten that? You wouldn't have gotten
that.
No, I wouldn't have gotten that one.
Okay. I wouldn't have thought of that. I've heard of them, I just wouldn't have.
I couldn't have told you what Super Bowl they were in or whatever, but you tell me Vikings defensive line Super Bowl. Yeah. Eating people. I would have swept the category. And then gotten nothing else right in Jeopardy. I would like to try to be on Jeopardy just in hopes that I would be one of the three candidates in that exact situation. I wouldn't fare well on Sports Jeopardy for what it's worth. I would lose. I don't have an infinite amount of sports trivia in my head. Like the program does Stump the Chumps and everything.
Right.
Like, I would be completely useless. I might get one out of every, 10 questions. That's just not my thing.
I think there was a site. I think it's called Sporkle or something like that.
Yeah, I remember
quizzes.
Sporkle.
Yeah, and there were some sports quizzes or whatever. I did some NBA ones.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I think you and I could do Chiefs ones. But even then, if once you get back to a certain time, just not there for it. It's just not really me. Not my stuff.
I think the craziest one I ever did was all defensive first and second team NBA guys since the 60s.
That's upsetting that you would do that.
Well, that one was just kind of you enter the name once and it would fill it for every spot.
Okay.
So it was just kind of going, who's been really good at defense forever?
I'm still a little disappointed in you.
That's okay.
I want to talk about Brett Veach. This might be a little derivative if you've already read my column that I wrote on Arrowhead Addict. You can go do that. I'm going to cover basically all that same ground now, though, because I wrote more with Wednesday's show about Brett Veach than I even talked about him, because most of Wednesday's show was about the actual trade itself. Alex Smith, Kendall Fuller, etc. But I'm going to more or less read to you what I wrote about Brett Veach and why I think this is... I'm so thoroughly encouraged by what I've seen from Brett Veach, and this trade is only another level of that, and I'm so on board with it. There are tons of great things to love about the Chiefs' trade of Alex Smith, but one thing stands above the rest. Brett Veach is showing something great. Remember when the Chiefs were in a salary cap hell, understocked with draft picks, and desperately in need of young playmakers on defense? Feels like it was just yesterday. It was just yesterday. I spent most of the last month trying to fix all those problems for the Chiefs one move at a time. Trade Smith, clear some space. Hopefully get a decent draft pick back and make a run at Aqib Talib. That'll cost you a pick and some of the new salary cap space. Maybe try to find the number two cornerback in the third or fourth round of the draft. It's hard to do, but it's probably the best option. And then Brett Veach cleared that up for the rest of us pretty quickly. In one blockbuster move, Veach brought in a 22-year-old cornerback with a minuscule cap number and rave reviews. The third-round pick became an afterthought when Chiefs analysts got their hands on Kendall Fuller's tape. This move says tremendous things about Brett Veach. I'm thrilled by Veach's moves as the GM of the Chiefs, largely because, pardon the self-centered nature of this sentence, I mentioned this a little bit on Wednesday, this is exactly how I would do it. The NFL is a value game. You, of course, need great talent and coaching. But without value, you've eventually got to, you're eventually going to pay by cutting corners in other areas of your roster. Justin Houston ceased to be a value when he got his monstrous contract. He's still a great player, but no longer the steal he was as a third-round pick. Value is the backbone of the NFL. If you have Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers, you may be able to afford to cut some you may be able to afford some bad financial investments, but for just about everybody else, you need to spend wisely. Based on the last few months of evidence, Brett Veach understands that. I add parenthetically now, this implies that John Dorsey didn't. John Dorsey was a tremendous talent evaluator. The point of where I'm going with this, though, is that Brett Veach knows how to win on the modern NFL. Reggie Ragland is a tremendous value. He has two more years on his contract at around $1 million per year. Patrick Mahomes is going to be a great value. He doesn't have to be a Pro Bowler for his 2018 cap hit of $3.7 million to make Derek Carr's $25 million look comical. Kendall Fuller is an absolute steal. He won't cost more than $800,000 in either of his next two seasons, despite being arguably the best slot corner in football and a potential fix for the outside opposite Marcus Peters. At least in a base defense, he'll probably move into the slot when the Chiefs turn nickel. We talked about that on Wednesday. Salary cap talk isn't sexy. I mean, maybe to some of you. But it is absolutely necessary. Brett Veach knows that, and with this Alex Smith trade, the Chiefs drop millions in cap space out of their quarterback position and add an incredibly talented cornerback while taking on virtually no salary burden there. We'll spend most of the rest of the offseason talking about Patrick Mahomes, and I spent a large majority of the show on Wednesday talking about Kendall Fuller, but right now, Brett Veach deserves the first praise. Sorry for reading you my own writing. Usually, I fill showtime by reading other people's writing.
Or your own writing just in, what is it now, 280 characters or less?
Right, yeah, good point. Sorry for reading you my relatively long-form writing. And by relatively long-form, I mean like five paragraphs. But I hope you didn't just tune out for that like Beards did, which is fine. Go for it, Beards. But if you're listening to this because you care about the Chiefs, I hope you had either read that already or you listened to that closely. Because, man, I'm such a good writer. I mean, because, man, this is really important. I mentioned this a little bit earlier, talking about Alex Smith's legacy. And I've said this in a multitude of ways over the last year that I've been on air here in Kansas City. And some ways I've said it have been particularly useful and kind of tight and, you know, a good rule of thumb. And some of them have gotten people to yell at me because they disagree because I haven't said it as well as I should have. I think the best way you can go about it is to say that your quarterback has to either be able to help cover up your deficiencies or has to be enough of a value that that you can spend in a way that you have no deficiencies. And the quarterback position is the one that can do the covering up, but it's also not the only place that you can leave yourself more wiggle room elsewhere. I was worried going into this offseason, and I'll be looking at it again next year, that we might be seeing at some point a premature exit from Justin Houston or Eric Berry. Not because they're not still NFL-worthy talents, because that's obviously not the case. They certainly are, and Berry even more obviously than Justin Houston. Justin Houston was pretty good last year. We talked about that a lot throughout the year, but he wasn't used extremely well. The rest of the defense, blah, blah, blah. The point being, though, those guys have huge cap numbers. Same could be said for Eric Fisher. Eric Fisher, in a cap emergency, the Chiefs might cut a competent left tackle and take on quite a bit of dead cap money because they simply have to have the space that he would provide. That's not the best move for the football team, though. The best move for the football team is to keep Eric Fisher this year, go draft somebody that you can develop behind him and hope that he can take over for more of a value a year or two down the road. But if you're going to do that, you have to spend wisely. Well, this year, you know what? Let me, Beards, can I get some music, please?
What kind of music do you want?
I'd like some music for looking up Marcus Peters' contract for this year.
Oh, you want that kind of music.
What did you think I wanted? Do you think we want a game? We'll do the prop bet game in a minute.
I got just going to throw random music in there. Just be
sure,
funny.
That's fine. We're good now, though. Thank you. This year, the Chiefs are going to have $4 million wrapped up in their two starting corners combined. Marcus Peters making about $3 million. Kendall Fuller's, what I said, making like $800,000. A little less than that. I can hear your chair creaking, Beards. It's so loud. It was such a loud chair creak. It was distracting.
My mic was on. I didn't realize it was on.
I knew you didn't recognize your mic was on, and I was fine. I figured you might chime in at some point. It didn't bother me. The creaking was bothersome. It was ghoulish. Yeah, I feel like we're in a haunted wind tunnel now with your mic on. Oh, I hate it. I really don't like that. But so the Chiefs are going to have $4 million wrapped up in their two starting corners this year, which, as we talked a little bit about yesterday, and if you missed this yesterday, I'll get you the exact statistic here. The Chiefs have three of the highest paid corner or the highest paid safeties in football, which is pretty buck wild. It's Daniel Sorensen at number 28, Eric Berry at number 2, and Ron Parker somewhere in the middle. It's just a matter of how long it takes for the internet to get me into my Twitter. Here we go. Eric Berry is making $13 million. That's second among safeties. Ron Parker is making 7, 15th among safeties. Daniel Sorensen making $4.8 million. That's 28th among safeties. It's a lot of money in the safety position. Do you know why they might not have to cut guys there? Now, listen, I am completely on board if they can cut ties with... I think Ron Parker's a little underrated in general, but not underrated for $7 million. And Daniel Sorensen, it's hard to watch sometimes. I'd be all after the Chiefs going after Eric Reed in free agency, the former 49er, bringing him in and then trying to clean up elsewhere, get him at a better value and a higher performance, but I digress. The reason, though, that isn't a death sentence for this team, and paying Justin Houston a ton of money isn't a death sentence, and even potentially paying Dee Ford his, like, $8 million, if, in fact, they don't cut him, if his injury isn't cleared up, whichever reason it may be they decide to end up or have to end up paying Dee Ford, that's not a death sentence, because the Chiefs have crazy value in their corners. Really, and Steven Nelson also, I'll grab his... salary at some in a second here also. The Chiefs corners are going to make like $5 million next year. The three starters, assuming that Nelson starts opposite Peters whenever they move into the slot. Yeah, he's making under $1 million. It's under $5 million for the three potentially starting corners right now if they cut Revis and don't bring in Tlaib. And you could afford to still bring in Aqib Tlaib because your quarterback is making $12 million less than your previous quarterback was. And I don't know if this is just like me being a child of the franchise mode in Madden or what, but the kind of like this kind of salary cap perspective is so important to me, and it seems to be extremely important to Brett Veach also. And he's shown that so well. Even Kevin Pierre-Louis. Kevin Pierre-Louis is a perfect, like, third inside linebacker. Good in pass coverage, can step in if he needs to, if somebody in front of him gets hurt, and he's doing it at a tremendous value. Reggie Ragland, Kendall Fuller, Marcus Peters, all steals right now. Eric Fisher contract doesn't seem great. LDT was really good this year, but that's a lot of money for a guard. You can do this all over the field. But it gets less and less problematic whenever you make really smart investments elsewhere. And Brett Veach just locked up a corner for the next 2 years for $800,000 a year. And an extremely talented young cornerback in one of the NFL's most important positions. Third most important, maybe, quarterback, pass rusher, cornerback. It's at least arguable, I think. And it's just, that's a huge win for this team. Beard, you've been looking at your phone and laughing for the last like 5 minutes. What are you doing?
It's a visual gag. It won't work on radio.
Can you give me the premise at least, please?
So I found on Reddit, it's basically the Star Wars prequel memes section, and it has devolved now into just name puns with photoshops of Star Wars characters on very muscular figures. So it's, you know, let's see.
Instead of Ben Solo, it's
let's see. It's a good one.
I saw a Qui-Gon Jinn one.
Yeah,
Qui-Gon Jim, I think it
Qui-Gon
was.
Qui-Gon Jim, yeah. Boss Mass.
Nice.
Let's see, what else is there? Battle Roids.
It's pretty funny.
It's pretty good. Jango Fit.
It's pretty good.
Jabba the Cut.
That's terrifying. Can you imagine a cut Jabba?
I don't have to. I can see the picture of it.
Put your phone up to the window really quick.
Okay.
Horrifying. I feel like there's got to be a Darth Maul one, but I can't quite get there.
Yeah, there
yet.
Was. Where is it?
I'm going to be disappointed if you find it before I think
Darth
of it.
Darth Swole.
No, that doesn't work. That one's lazy. Swolo is taken.
Wait to Windu.
It's okay.
Newt Gunshow.
It's pretty good.
That's a pretty good one.
That is a pretty good one.
So yeah, that's what I've been doing. How's your day going?
Found out Steven Nelson makes about $850,000 this year.
You want to talk about it?
I already did. I did that while you were looking at Jabba the Cut. I'm not even doing a bit anymore with like the silence, because I don't want to leave you with genuinely like 30 seconds of silence. I just don't know what to say. Where do we go from here? Like, can we do Chiefs pun names? Like, I that takes time. I can't do that right on the spot. Got nothing. We need a good, like, car crash sound. Actually, no, we don't. Too many people listen to this in their car. That would be horrifying. It would be absolutely horrifying. You're listening to this live now, or you listen to it on the podcast later. Somebody's just driving around. I would be in a ditch. That's not accurate, though, because the show I was just doing was good, and the experience you were having was fun. It's just that it's sort of combined into this disgusting amalgamation of just nonsense, bad car crash radio. We do need it. We do need a sound, though, to... There it is. That's... Wow, this is an insanely long flush. What is that sound? Is there a vacuum cleaner? Wow. That was great work, Beards. Now that is a very wasteful toilet. That toilet is the opposite of Brett Veach. Beards, if you would have been listening, that would have been a very funny joke. You and Charlie have to stop hanging out so much. I need you to stay you. I need you to occasionally listen to the show.
You don't want Charlie and I to basically combine into the same person?
I don't know. What would that person be? That person would be the least on-air confident person I've ever met. I imagine it would be like... Or maybe not. Maybe it's just like combines your nerve and multiplies your guys' nervous energy into just like a court jester, which would also be mildly infuriating.
I can see that why it's an issue. Also, we already have a court jester.
Right.
It's the grumpy cat.
Perfect. That's true. I didn't even think about that. There must have been
Gosh, you think everything's about you, don't you?
Seeping into my mind, though. Because I wouldn't have just normally said a court jester, but I have a little grumpy cat and a court jester hat just hanging from my microphone right now. You want to come back and play the prop bet game?
We can do that.
You think it can hold your attention?
Probably.
You're the one like delivering the answers or questions or whatever. So I'm gonna need you to try to focus.
I'll try.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
So that's usually how this works. Is usually the first hour is kind of like has some construct to it. It's like, all right, here's like the A block and the B block or whatever. And
then everything just goes off the web.
What was that?
I had to cough.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
Oh, yes. It's Super Bowl week, which you legitimately would not have known if your only source of connection to the outside world was this show.
I also realized something during that last segment when I was looking at prequel memes.
Yeah.
Han Solo hasn't had a trailer yet.
Yeah.
Guess when that'll happen?
When?
Super Bowl.
Is that the plan?
Probably.
Weren't there a bunch of issues with the production of the Han Solo movie?
I feel like it's coming out soon. Like, within the next few months soon.
Can I get some music? Some very, very serious NFL music? Looking up when the Han Solo movie comes out. May 25th.
So, yeah. Still haven't had a trailer. Guess when?
Super Bowl sneak peek here, it says.
Oh, yeah.
And then a Han Solo movie trailer release date set for Monday. Let's talk about the Super Bowl! Beards, what is this article that you found?
So, this is from Bleacher Report. I gotta pull it back up. Okay, Bleacher Report. Where'd that article? There it is. This is basically just they took a bunch of fake prop bets that they made themselves and a bunch of normal prop bets that are actually legitimate.
Great.
You have to figure out which ones are which.
Okay, I'm going to give you my prediction and if I think it's real or fake on each of these.
Okay. So this
whoa,
is...
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Well, the music died, so I got to get new ones.
Well, let's get some new music.
I'm getting
this
there.
Is Super Bowl Friday.
I'm getting there.
This is Super Bowl Friday. This is a sports show. This is the NFL. It's the National Football League. This is the Batman... This is the Batman music.
Or like the James Bond.
This is Batman.
Yeah, either one.
Go ahead.
Okay, so...
Turn it down a little bit. It's a little loud. Thank you.
Is that better?
That is better.
Okay.
My fragile ears.
So, number one, which will be more, the number of Bud Light Dilly Dilly commercials or the number of times the announcer says Team Dog Mask? Real or fake?
The answer is Dilly Dilly, and that is fake.
Well, no. This is the bet. It's
I know.
One
I'm
or the
saying
other.
The I'm saying it will be the Dilly Dilly one.
Okay.
And it's fake.
Okay.
Am I right?
Correct.
Boom.
Team USA Winter Olympic gold medals or the Patriots first quarter points.
I like that one. I'll take the gold medals, and also that's a real one.
That is correct.
Nice.
Total number of first downs or Russell Westbrook's total combined points, rebounds, and assists.
Okay, whoa, hold on. Give me that one slower again.
Total number of first downs or Russell Westbrook's total combined points, rebounds, and assists against the Lakers on Sunday.
You could probably get that anywhere and Russell Westbrook's stats.
So is that real or fake?
I'm going to say it's real.
That is real.
Boom.
Gronk's total receiving yards or total points scored Sunday by the Boston Celtics versus the Portland Trailblazers.
That's very Boston. This feels like it could be a little tricky, boy. But I feel like if you really wanted to find this line, you could probably get it. So I'm going to take the Boston Celtics points, and I'm going to say this is real.
That's fake.
Darn. That one's could be real.
Tom Brady touchdown passes or the number of LeBron James Instagram stories on Sunday.
I don't follow LeBron on Instagram. I don't know how often he hits up a story.
I don't know. Depends how many teammate feuds he's got going on.
I'm going to say LeBron stories, and then it's fake.
That is correct. Nick Foles touchdown passes or Lionel Messi and Luis Suarez combined goals versus Espanyol.
I'm going to take Nick Foles and say it's real.
That is real.
Oh, yeah.
All right, this one is either or.
Okay.
Chris Collinsworth says greased poles or he does not.
Oh, it's so good. Does he have to, he has to say some derivative of that, I assume.
I don't know.
I'm going to say that's a fake one and that he doesn't say it.
It is fake. Disappointing.
Oh, disappointing though.
Team Ruff or Team Fluff wins the Puppy Bowl.
Oh, Team Fluff, 100%. Is that the end of the list?
No.
Okay. Oh, and that's real. That's a real line. Stu Gods apparently bet that, by the way.
Of course.
So, yeah, that one's real for sure, and Team Fluff.
Al Michael says Vegas, or he does not.
Ooh. I think that one's real, and I think he will avoid specifically using the word Vegas. Is it real, though?
It is real.
All right.
Have
you missed one so far?
You've missed
the
one.
Boston one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Last one.
Okay.
Janet Jackson makes a surprise appearance during the halftime show, or she does not.
She cannot. But, man, that's good. I'll say it's a real one.
That is correct. It's
all
real.
Right.
I feel like that one will happen.
Do you really?
Yes.
Like a big redemption kind of thing.
Or, I don't know, repeat of history.
That's what I want. I want them to just, like, step for step recreate
Make
that.
It more extreme, though.
Ooh, interesting. This time, Janet Jackson comes on stage, and Justin Timberlake is wearing those, like, tearaway pants
yes.
with the snaps on the side, and Janet Jackson just, like, comes around from behind him and just goes, brrrah! And then all of a sudden, uh-oh, there's the Justin Timberlake's wiener. It's going to be a liner. I figured as much before I said it. Why do you want to see Justin Timberlake's wiener so bad, Beards?
I don't.
It's not what it sounded like a second ago. Wanted some extreme action. Can only assume that the next...
Are you projecting?
The next logical step... Oh, man, I can't say the joke I wanted to say. I probably could have. It wouldn't have been like an FCC violation, but it would have really been challenging.
Also, Bar Binks.
Nice. That's pretty good.
Chancellor Palpatine.
Chancellor what?
Palprotein.
Palprotein. Ooh, that's good. I like Chancellor Palprotein.
Darth Plagueis the Wide.
Well, listen.
Jim Erso. Obi-Bron Kenobi.
The thing that I'm honestly mad about isn't how dumb those are, but it's that I cannot think of a single original one. I'm going Star Wars characters. I guess I could try to work that backwards. Go ahead.
Squado.
Sebulja. Boom! Got it.
That's pretty good.
That is pretty good. TNT is just having a bones marathon today. What, Beards?
Thick Fisto.
I don't like that one.
I know. That was a little dangerous.
No, I don't like that one at all.
Are they doing just bones all day?
I don't know. I think they must be because I've looked up again and there's a man hanging from his ceiling.
Oh. Okay.
But that's not really the Bones MO though, right? Isn't the whole thing about Bones that they get like unidentifiable
old bones.
Bones, yeah. And stuff.
It's not called corpses.
It's not called here's a man here, solve this mystery. Here's a man hanging here. Who is he? Oh, look in his wallet. Oh, yep, that's Jerry.
How'd he die? Oh, looks like he got shot.
This is
He got shot.
No, actually Bones. I've seen enough episodes of the show, but not enough to know if they actually call her Bones.
Yes.
Do they call her Bones? Yeah. Well, actually, Bones, he's hanging from the ceiling. No visible gun wound.
I can't see the bones. I'm worthless.
That's a really good evolution. Is the version of the show...
It becomes corpses.
Right, where it's just like... Or just like even... It could just be like living people, just like, hey, so where are you going? Looks like you're going to the gym, huh? I'm in a full suit. Oh, I can't see your bones. I know nothing. I'm powerless without being able to see your bones. It's her weakness. It's constantly trying to just get to bones. She should try to like reconstruct a dinosaur, but like. With flesh. You know what? She needs to do her own Jurassic Park. Would you go to a Jurassic Park if one like opens today? So hold on. Before you answer.
Okay.
We've seen the movies. They've seen the movies. And it's out on out on an island because it's got to be, well, but we're so far from an island. Let's go ahead and just put it in like Hutchinson.
Cool.
So it's
nothing else there.
It's within a drive, and I can't think of another damn thing in Hutchinson, Kansas.
No, there's nothing.
There's a planetarium, I think, actually.
Yep.
Which I've been to, actually. So yep, they bulldoze the planetarium.
There's a roller rink there.
Is there really?
Yeah.
Well, that sounds fun. So they just put this on top of the roller rink and the planetarium, and it's basically like an amusement park, but with dinosaurs. It's pretty much Jurassic Park. They have to go ahead and call it something else. They have to call it Dino Land. Trademark. And
Jurassic Playground.
I love whenever you say an okay joke and then everyone can hear you chuckle into your microphone. It is one of this show's best aesthetics. Jurassic Playground. Jurassic Playground.
What was that?
That was my beard's impression.
You need to get that checked out.
Well, I feel like I pretty much nailed it. But so it's just, and for this first scenario, we're going to say they have no apex predators.
Okay.
They have velociraptors, maybe, in a very fenced-in world, but no threats to the public. Would you go?
Are there doorknobs?
Yes.
Then we're screwed.
But the velociraptors probably can't get there. It's just there's a Jurassic Park now in Hutchinson, Kansas. Do you go see it?
Sure.
What if it's filled with all of the danger dinos?
I feel like after watching all mm-hmm. the Jurassic Park movies, mm-hmm. they'd kind of know, hey, let's not do it the way they did it.
I agree. I think that's the logical answer. I would absolutely 100% go.
That being said, it would probably be very difficult to stop something that's bigger than an elephant that's also really angry and just wants to eat things.
SeaWorld did it. I mean, it was, you know, they torture
their
SeaWorld
orcas. SeaWorld has the...
It can't live outside of the water,
that's
though.
That's the thing.
That, you know what, that's
they
an okay
built
point.
In security measures just because it's a water park.
The water... You saw Jurassic World, I assume.
I have not, actually.
Really?
No.
That stuns me. The only thing in that movie that was truly just like chilling is there's a water dino, and I don't like the water dinos. I think, okay, new question here, Beards. Other than, and also any of you listening right now, you can tweet your answer to this at JB Briscoe. What is your like very like surface level fear? So I don't mean what's your greatest fear is like, oh, dying without ever having accomplished my dreams, but I mean like. Of being afraid of spiders or
sure,
whatever.
That one.
Is that it for you?
It's pretty up there.
Is that your top kind of silly fear?
Sure, we can go with that. Now, when I say spider, I don't just mean any spider. I mean, once they start getting to the size where you're like, that looks like it's bigger than a dollar coin or half dollar coin.
What if you
it's
know
a little dangerous?
But what if you know that it's not dangerous? It's just spooky.
They're still weird. They're still weird, man.
How much would it take for you to, like, Fear Factor style, have spiders dumped on you in a glass cage?
That ain't happening.
For $10 million.
That ain't happening.
You wouldn't do it for $10 million?
Probably not.
You're a liar. For me, it's floating in deep water when I can't
That's
see.
Not good.
In, like, dark water and I can't see what's below me.
That's not a good one.
Mm-mm. I do not like that. I've been to the ocean, and I can go out a little ways, but like I don't like turning my back to the ocean part or getting to the point where I can't like touch the ground anymore. But also, like, one time I was tubing on a lake in Kansas with my grandpa and cousin and stuff, and I got thrown off of the tube and then just sort of had to float there. Wait for them to come pick me up again in the middle of the lake. I just sort of floated there, and I did not like it. I knew there wasn't a giant dinosaur underneath me, but I could not convince myself otherwise in the moment.
Those freshwater sharks are dangerous, man.
Freshwater sharks, but honestly, I don't even know if sharks, things that could ostensibly be bigger than me.
That's a good one.
That's horrifying. I mean, I'm just going to imagine that's something that exists in any water. Frankly, if I have my back to the deep end in the pool, I imagine that someone's about to open up the wall deep end and release a megalodon.
I'll tell you what two of the most evilest looking things on the face of the earth are.
Okay.
Scorpions.
Fine with scorpions.
Crocodiles.
Yeah, but I'm not afraid of either of those, though. Like, I don't want to hang out with them. But, like, I don't have an irrational fear of waking up one morning and then seeing a crocodile on my wall like you might with
a
spider.
No. Yeah, that's totally going to happen.
That would be horrifying. Can you imagine?
Yeah, you'd be afraid of it then.
You wake up one morning and you look at one of the wall closest to you. And you see a spider. And you're like, oh, God. And you freak out and you turn around and there's a crocodile on the other wall.
There's a couple spots in my room where occasionally spiders like to congregate.
Yeah.
Or like where they're most frequently I'll see one.
Yeah.
I just imagining looking up one morning and just seeing across my room in the corner, the corner of the room. Just
of the wall. Just like
a crocodile.
Down. Yes. Clinging to the wall somehow. Oof. But even then,
golf club ain't gonna do that one.
No. Do you kill spiders with a golf club?
Well, if they're higher up like that, I'll just take a little, like, one of the flat ones and
just
squish it.
Smash it.
No, I
was talking yesterday
about
flamethrowers.
I'll just kind of just squish it.
We talked yesterday about flamethrowers, and you said that you would buy one for spiders. Now I believe you.
It'd be fun.
Do you live in a padded room? Which I guess would make some sense.
No.
Okay. But if, like, hitting your walls with a golf club is gonna cause some property damage.
No, I just kind of press on it.
Okay.
No, I'm not taking a golf club to my wall. I know that's not a good idea.
Also,
there's just a bunch of holes in my wall.
That's what I'm imagining. Yeah. And then where the more spiders can come in, eventually you get a big enough hole and a crocodile is going to come in.
No!
Shh. I'm just kidding. Everything else in this building is on tape currently. Where was I going to go with this? My room at my parents' house towards the end before I moved. There would pretty frequently be those house centipedes with the big old long legs.
Oh, yeah, I've gotten those.
That would just be on my wall hanging out.
Oh, yeah, those are fast.
There was one time that was legitimately like the size of my pinky.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I get those.
Oof. Alien bug.
They're fast.
Not inherently terrifying.
Just weird.
Not great, though.
No.
Not my favorite. Excuse me, I had to sneeze. Not my favorite thing to wake up next to. Not really a joke. It sounds like I was setting up a joke.
Oh, no,
I didn't
no,
have
I understand
one.
That one.
But also, like, so, but I feel like if I woke up and there was a crocodile, maybe not my current room, because my current room is even smaller than my room at my parents' house was. But if I woke up and there was a crocodile on the other side of my room, I don't want to undersell this. I would freak out.
Oh, totally.
But I wouldn't be like, I'm dead. I'm going to die. I'm dying. I would just be like, what do I do? I would grab my phone and then just stand on my bed. I don't think a crocodile can get on my bed.
I don't want to risk that.
Well, no, I'm not signing up for this. Please don't show up at my house with a crocodile. But I think I'd be okay.
You have a tall bed?
Not especially, but it's not on the ground. Like, yeah, I mean, it's got like, I mean, I don't know. It's like
now, are
3 feet off the ground. A crocodile doesn't have a vertical.
How big of a crocodile are we talking about here? Are we talking about just like a normal 10-foot long one, or are we going to like the 20-foot monsters?
I was just thinking about a pretty run-of-the-mill croc.
Okay.
One single rubber pink croc.
Oh, that's fine.
That's horrifying. What would be scarier? Okay, hold on. This might be our new poll
question. I feel like we were just having two different conversations.
No, I came back to just made it split off. We were having the same conversation. Here's the question, though. What would be scarier? Waking up to a crocodile in your room, or waking up and finding another person's pair of Crocs in your room that you've never seen before? I think the scarier thing might be the latter. Because the latter...
There's a ladder now, too?
I think the Crocs, the shoes, might be scarier because that implies that someone came into your room and took off your shoes and could have done anything and then left.
That's the thing, though. They're not there anymore. The crocodile is.
That's a fair point. But I also don't know where this person is or who this person is. The crocodile's right there. I can identify the crocodile.
The person could have let the crocodile in.
It's a good... Well, wait a second. Are they both there now? I can't handle this. This is my new fear. This has been your Super Bowl 52. Was it 52, I think? Super Bowl 52 preview here on ESPN Kansas City. Brought to you by Jurassic Park, Crocs, Crocodiles, and the...
And ladders.
And ladders, and the Batman theme song, and the Low T Center, because I'm pretty sure that's actually one of the sponsors for Super Bowl week. This has been our Super Bowl coverage, brought to you by us.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
I don't know.
Okay. Things get weird over here.
Yeah, it's true.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
Few bits of important housekeeping before we head out for the weekend. First, most importantly, Ian has sent Beard tonight a picture of a crocodile on a wall. And it's fine. Everything is fine. It's probably fake. You know what? It is fake. That picture is fake. It's either a sculpture or Photoshop because I cannot live in a world where I believe that crocodiles can climb on walls.
Have you seen the one picture of like there was like a crocodile ringing in somebody's front door?
Yes, I have seen that. Yep. Yes, I have. This one, though, is completely suspended on the wall.
No, this one's scarier.
This one is fake. It has to be fake. It must be fake. Otherwise, I can't live here anymore. I have to move to Mars.
I didn't see a picture. What picture?
No, there's no picture.
I didn't see a picture.
You can't see it on Twitter. @Ian. I can't read it. I'll retweet it. I see no picture. There's no picture here. This doesn't exist. Alvin Kamara won Rookie of the Year instead of Kareem Hunt. That's a disgrace. Not really. It was close. Also, following up on a story from yesterday, here's a tweet from Elon Musk. @Elon Musk. He says, apparently some customs agencies are saying they won't allow shipments of anything called a flamethrower. We are renaming it not a flamethrower. Someone responded to him with, can you please stop dealing with this bleep and save our planet?
Where's SpaceX?
Yeah, please. Get us to Mars or fix this one. Or also, though, I mean, do keep making flamethrowers.
Let's just make, like, time travel.
That's a good idea.
Interdimensional travel. That's what we need.
That'd be awesome.
Forget space travel. Just interdimensional travel.
Yeah, could I get, like, a portal gun? Like a Rick and Morty portal gun?
Sure.
I'll use it relatively responsibly. I'll just keep going to different universes until I find one that I like. I think that's pretty good. I think we've done an amazing job breaking down the Super Bowl. By the way, final votes here. What does Patrick Mahomes sound most like? The voice of an animated garbage disposal in a kitchen-based kids movie, Down on His Luck Muppet, or a God Amongst Men Who Must Not Be Disparaged This Way? 56% said a God Amongst Men. Beard, two wins the Super Bowl.
Patriots.
Yeah, probably. It's disappointing, but I mean, I can't live in a world with crocodiles on walls or where Nick Foles is winning Super Bowls. Both of those do not compute. All right, good show. Bye, Mom.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on ESPN Kansas City.